Thank you. It's good to see all of you here today. There's a communication card in your seat if you've not filled one out or need to write something to me, or maybe a personal something, then fill that out and give it to me a little later. Thank you, Jeannie, for your direction this morning. Very powerful, very meaningful. I'm glad we have someone like Jeannie to fall back on whenever Tom and Renee are not going to be here. Thank you so much. We're going to start a new series today. Guess what? I don't know how long it's going to take. We're going to be talking about, so the series is going to be why. It's going to be called the Why Series. Okay. The first topic we're going to discuss is why church. The second topic we're going to discuss is why prayer. And the third topic we're going to discuss is why giving. And then we'll go see what the Lord has after that. But let me just say this. The Lord can change this at any time. Okay? So just want you to know that. If he tells me that this is, on a Sunday, this is a different direction, then that's the direction we'll go. So, many of you at this church know the blessing of giving. And so before I get into my message, I just want to share some things with you. And many of you are looking for opportunities to give. But you want your gifts to be utilized in a way that's going to glorify God. And you want your gifts to be utilized in a way that it's not going to be wasted. So someone asked me this week, what can we do for Ukraine? And so John Brisk is a pastor friend of mine. Some of you who went over to the celebration ministry at the association met John Brisk. He's the pastor of the Romanian Baptist Church in Milwaukee. And he had shared something, and he's got his English. He does real well in English, but his accent is worse than Mississippi. And sometimes it's hard to understand what he said. So I called him this week, and I told him about the desire for some of the church members to help in the Ukrainian crisis. And what could we do? And he said, Ukraine is very near to my heart. My daughter-in-law, he said, is from Ukraine. My grandchildren are half Romanian and half Ukraine. He also said that before this war started, there were 10 families in his church from Ukraine. But since this war has started, there have been 7 families that have become refugees and their church is hosting and housing. They're helping with housing. They're helping them with work permits. They're helping them to get the children in school. They're helping in a lot of different ways for these families because most, if not any of them, speak English. Okay. He also said that weekly they send someone down to San Diego because they have refugees, Ukrainian refugees coming across the Mexican border. They have Ukrainian refugees coming from the Canadian border. They have refugees who somehow, with the right documents, are able just to fly in to the Portland airport. And so their church took, last week, they were able to take care of 3 Ukrainian families that are refugees. Right now, there's a total of 7 families in their church who they're taking care of taking care of these refugee families. Again, providing housing for them. They're going around and finding apartments so that they can house these individuals. And he said, Brad, you've called the right person. He said, there was a time in John Brisk's ministry that he preached 22 times in 15 days in Ukraine. So he knows a lot of pastors in Ukraine. He also shared with me that there's a church in Portland, and I don't know if they're affiliated with us. I'm assuming they are, but I'm not sure about that. He said there's a church in Portland that has, the membership is made up of both Russian and Ukrainians. And it's, for both of them, it's very heartbreaking. And as he was talking, his voice started choking, and he said, this is very dear to my heart. He mentioned three ways that perhaps we as a church could help. One way is we give. He says he knows a church in churches in western Ukraine who are housing refugees and helping them get into Poland or Hungary or other places. And so he's in touch with that. He's in touch with that pastor, probably not on a daily basis, but quite often. And they're in need of supplies. He also is in touch with Romanian churches that are hosting refugees. He mentioned Iași, which is a Romanian city, a university city, church, and he knows the pastor personally, and they're housing refugees. So this is, as I mentioned, also the work that this church personally is doing for the refugees. So he said if there's three different areas that he would suggest if we give. And I said, what if we just took an offering and sent it to you and you distribute it the way it needs to be distributed? He said that would be fine. However, if you prefer making, let's just say you want to give to the Ukrainian crisis and you say, I really want this to go to the Romanian church. Or I want this to go to the Ukrainian church in western Ukraine. Or you want this to help the church there. Now, they only have a membership of like 700. Okay? And so they're ministering to as many people as they can. He said they've already sent like $10,000 over to Ukraine or to this other Romanian Baptist or Romanian church. And so anyway, during the month of May, we're going to be taking up offering for Ukraine. Okay? And so you just make your check out to Life Change Christian Fellowship, notate Ukrainian, or just put Ukraine, and we'll know what to do with it. Unless you specify, I want this to go to the church in Ukraine, or I want this to go to the church in Romania, or I want this to go to the church in Milwaukee. Okay? All right. Now, why church? A lot of times we do things in the Christian life and we don't know why we do them. Maybe we grew up with it and we just think it's the thing to do. And so I grew up in Mississippi. That's part of the Bible Belt. And I was visiting a church in Mississippi some years ago, and a missions director got up in church and said, we really need to pray for Mississippi because only 50% of the population in Mississippi are going to church. And I'm thinking, yeah, Oregon is a little bit different. But she was concerned that the attendance wasn't what it ought to be. And she's absolutely right. She's absolutely right. And here's what I want to just kind of make sure you understand this. In all of these messages and in this series, I'm not trying to get you to become more religious. Okay? I grew up in Mississippi, and you talk about a religious culture. It's very religious, but not all of those who go to church and not all of those who have named the name of Christ have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as I preach these messages, what I'm not trying to do is guilt you to do something that you're not already doing. or that you ought to be doing. I don't think guilting someone into to doing something is the best way to motivate people to do it. Okay? That's not why I'm preaching these messages. The reason I'm preaching these messages is to give you a better understanding of why we do what we do. So, why do Christians do certain things? What's the benefit? A boy came late to Sunday school one Sunday, and he was not prone to be late normally, and the teacher was kind of concerned what it was going on. And he said, "Johnny, is there anything going wrong?" He said, "No, not really. I was going to go fishing, but my dad told me that I needed to get up and go on to church." Well, the teacher was pretty impressed with the dad. He said, "Well, can you tell me why your dad said that? Do you know the reason?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, he did. My daddy said he didn't have enough bait for the both of us." In recent years, there's been a decline in church attendance, most especially since the pandemic occurred. People have drifted away from the church, and some are still connected through Zoom, and I appreciate you connecting through Zoom. But the problem is that many times connecting through Zoom, you're no longer really connected to the body of Christ. You may be a believer, you may have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but there's something about connecting with other believers that gives you an impartation that you would not get otherwise. If you were here last Sunday, it was just amazing. It was almost like the Spirit was just palatable in this place. I watched the recording later on, and even then it brought me to tears. As I watched the production and I listened to the singers, it was pretty awesome. But it's not like being here. Have you ever heard the saying, "You should have been there"? Right. Yeah. But you should have been there. It was pretty awesome. It's pretty great. There's a new study that have come out. From Lifeway Research, more Protestant churches closed in 2019 than opened. From 34 Protestant denominations and groups, they found that 4,500 churches closed in 2019, while about 3,000 new congregations were started. The 34 Protestant denominations account for 60% of the United States-based Protestant denominations. Quite a few churches. Study published in April of 2020 estimated that in the decade ending in 2020, 3,850 to 7,700 houses of worship closed per year in the United States, or 75 to 150 congregations per week. It's also projected those numbers will double or triple in the wake of the pandemic. The biggest reason for church closings is a decline in church membership. A recent Barna research poll says that 64% of the people in the United States claim to be Christian, while only 4% have a biblical worldview. These 4% view the world from a biblical perspective than other perspectives. So is the church important? Or is it just a fad that has lasted over 2,000 years? I think it's important. If it was good enough for Jesus, I think it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for Paul and Silas, there used to be a song like that. If there's good enough for Paul and Silas, it's gooder for me. So, and I want to, in weeks to come, is it enough to be just an observer in the church? Or do you need to be a participant as well? Why go to church at all? Sorry. Better get some water. I've heard many responses to the question, will you come to church? And there's responses vary. One is, I can watch it on Zoom. And you can, but that might not be the best. The second one is, and often it's not said, but it's implied, I'd rather do other things. Not, you don't hear that often, I'd rather do other things. But many people would rather go fishing, rather go hunting. I mean, hunting only comes once a season, once a year. Fishing, yeah, fishing only comes a couple times a year. You know, I mean, you gotta really take advantage of those when they come. but should there be other things more important than church family? Is there anything? You know, I've heard people say, you know, that's the only day of the week that I get to spend with my family. Well, where would be a better place to spend it? What's more important, than addressing spiritual issues in your own personal life as well as the life of your family? There's nothing actually more important than that. Some would say that, oh, you know, what's in it for me? We're a consumer-based society. And if I can't see the benefit for me, then I won't participate. and again, what if everyone in the church was to be a contributor and rather than just a spectator? What if God has given you something that you are to impart to the body? What if? And what if you would be able to contribute to the whole and not just to yourself and to your family? What if? Wouldn't that be amazing if God had given us those gifts to do that and to help other people? Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, he has. Oh, okay. He has. Another reason Christians shy away from the church is because of hurt or offenses. How many of you have ever been hurt in church? We could just sit here all day and talk about that. We could share stories, right? There have been those who've been hurt at church and have chosen to stay away rather than mend relationships. How many of you have ever been hurt in your family? So what did you do? Did you just cut them off? Or did you work through these offenses? You know, sometimes it's easier to work to cut people off than it is to work through the offenses. There's something there, I don't know, I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And then the second is likened to it. What's it say? Love your neighbor as yourself. Thank you. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what we have to do then is do as much as we can to mend the fences. Usually that means saying, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Nobody likes to say that. Nobody likes to admit they're wrong. Right? Well, they're 90% wrong. I'm only 10% wrong. Well, you need to apologize for your 10%. There's a fella, maybe some of you have read his book named Brent. The author's named Brent Hansen, and the book is Unoffendable. Rena, you've read it. unoffendable. And Brent is just saying, you know, we as Christians, we need to come to a place where nothing offends us. And just live life. Just live life. You know, I could tell you stories about the offenses that I've incurred, but it wouldn't edify you or bless you. But what may bless you is this. When this church called me to pastor 29 years ago, myself and my family were very hurting individuals because of what took place in the last pastorate. You may not believe this, but they voted me out of the church. Okay? And you got me. So, and we were hurting folk. But we came here and you healed our hurt. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. You guys are a blessing. Recently, another reason people leave the church, recently political issues have become hot topics. Masks versus no masks. Vax versus no vax. CRT, etc. etc., etc., etc. And there have been churches who've split over these issues and are still divided because of some of these issues. Here's the deal. We have to fight for unity. In the very beginning of this pandemic, I told you as a church, we're not going to be disunified over these issues. We're not going to. And you stayed the course. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. We could have had a big fight here, but we didn't. Praise the Lord. The fight we need to have is a fight for unity. If there's anything that comes against us in regarding disunity, we need to fight and stand for unity. We must not allow anything to disrupt the unity of this church. I don't know how many of you are reading the journal that Jeannie suggested a while ago that you read. Tomorrow is a prayer for the unity of the church in its entirety. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I have a hard time praying that prayer because I know some churches don't have a biblical worldview. And I know that some churches don't exalt Christ as the only way to heaven. And so it's really hard for me sometimes to pray that. So this is my prayer. When you can get there, you can repeat or whatever. You can say, Lord, I want us to be unified in believing your word and knowing that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the Son of God. You can pray that. That's the way I pray. Okay? Because I can't be in uniformity to a lot of what's going on in our churches in our nation. So it's good to be unified, but we need to know what we're unified in. Okay? One of the reasons we had a problem in the last church is we had a deacon who said that there are many ways to heaven. Jesus was not the only way. And so we had a problem. I do not know that. I haven't checked on them recently. I'm not going to go any further. I want to get through this message. You remember the conversation Jesus had with Peter, probably in Matthew chapter 16. Peter, Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? So the whole conversation, a lot of the conversation went like this. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Some people, and we'll refer back to this later, some people say they feel closer to God in nature than they do in a building. Say, I feel closer to God on the riverbank fishing. I feel closer to Jesus in the hills hunting, maybe just hiking. I like to be alone with God. I've heard this spoken. And truthfully, honestly, some of the most worshipful times I've had is at Munson Creek Falls, okay, or at the ocean. That's just an awesome experience. But is worship church? So, let's look at the definition of a church. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, or ekklesia. It actually means an assembly. Say assembly. It's a derivative of two words, ek, out of, and kaleo, to call. So it's an assembly duly summoned. In Acts, we find this same word used at the council in Acts when the body of citizens came together to discuss state affairs. We also find this word used when it referred to a riot in Acts. Okay. Ekklesia. And this is the word Jesus used when he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock, I will build my assembly. So let me ask you a question. Let's just say a school board is a group of individuals assembled together, hopefully to advance the education of all students in our community because they have a heart for education. The city council is a group of individuals assembled to make decisions under the direction of city codes and ordinances to advance the well-being of the city. So if I were to tell you, I'm going to a school board meeting and I went fishing so I could contemplate about the school board meeting, would you say I went to a school board meeting? You would say that's absurd. You may say you may have pretended to be at a school board meeting, but you went fishing instead. And if I were to tell you I was going to a city council meeting, but I went on a hike up on the mountains so I could overlook the city of Tillamook and get a different vantage point, and you would probably question my sanity because that's my interpretation of a school board meeting. City council meetings don't happen on a mountain overlooking the city. City council meetings happen in the city, right? And school board meetings don't happen on a fishing bank. School board meetings happen at the educational building. So, here's the deal. Worship can take place anywhere. Paul was in jail, and he worshiped. But I don't think Paul would have said that was church. Right? Because church is an assembling together of God's people. God called individuals who come together for worship, for the proclamation of the gospel, or the proclamation of the word of God, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. That's what they come, that's what church is about. Assembling together so that we can worship the Lord, proclaim the word, and reach the lost. That's what church is about. Looking back at that statement regarding Peter, Peter said, Jesus, you are the Son of the God, Son of the living God. Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? He said, well, there's Peter, there's Elijah and Elisha and other prophet. Peter, disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you. And then Jesus spoke and said, Peter, upon this rock, upon this statement, I will build my ecclesia. I will build my assembly upon this rock. On this statement. There are a lot of churches who no longer hold to that foundational truth. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. If we leave him out of it, we no longer have a church. We may have something else, but we no longer have a church. And Scripture says, where two or three are gathered and together in my name, there I am in the midst. Can you have church in your home? Of course. If you bring a group of body of believers together, as a matter of fact, for 300 years, that's where the church met, was in homes. Who knows? We may have to go back to that one day, depending upon our government and how they address issues. We may have to go back there. They may eventually shut us down as an assembly, a church, worshiping God, proclaiming the gospel, reaching the nations. They may shut us down, but we will go to house churches again. Okay? That's not a big deal. Matter of fact, sometimes it's easier to utilize all the giftings that God has given you in a smaller type setting than it is in a big organizational church. Some people say, I don't like organized religion. And I say, come to my church. We're not real organized. There's a lot of excuses for not attending church. But one of the reasons to attend church is because Christ died to establish the church. And church means assembly of God-called individuals to accomplish his business. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ, but you can become a part of the body of Christ by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and trusting Him, putting your life in His hands, and allowing Him to be Lord of your life. Let me pray for you. Father, I come before you. And Lord, I thank you for your church. I thank you that we can trust you. I thank you that we can be part of this body of believers who you have called together to accomplish your work. Lord, I pray that you would just cement in our hearts the need to be in church, the need to be about the business that you've called us to be. And Lord, many here who are still seeking the gift that you've given them, who are still seeking to know what their place is. And Lord, I pray that you'd reveal that to them in the days and weeks and months to come. Lord, thank you again for your church that brings healing, that brings the word, that brings truth, and that gives life. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're going to sing.